What is all that stuff?
Do you always carry this in your bag?
Yeah.
Are you gonna be like a shopping bag lady? You know, like, sit in alleyways and, like, talk to buildings and wear men's shoes and that kind of thing?
And that is from The Breakfast Club. And you might know people in your own life who just seem like they're collecting things, maybe hoarding things, maybe not having a focused purpose in life, having a phony purpose in life. And they're betraying themselves. They're not taking the time to say, what is really important to me? What have I always loved since childhood? What would make my life feel so different, like a blank canvas that I can paint on, and it's a picture, a lovely picture that I enjoy looking at, rather than a canvas every day that looks a little drab or maybe even negative, and I know that I'm part of the problem. That's no fun. It's no fun to go through life like that. So if you're wondering how you can enjoy your life better, one of the key things that you want to focus on is purpose. Having a purpose that you enjoy. And that doesn't mean duty. It means anything but duty. It's not that you're living other people's lives. It is truly your own life. So whether you want to pursue a specific career, assuming it's rational and it's not drinking and drugging and gambling and the rest, but a career that's reasonable and you have the ability to do it, go for it. If it's way beyond your ability, if, for example, for me, brain surgery, then I need to rethink and design a different purpose. But you want to have something in the area of hobbies and friendships. You want to have purpose in multiple areas in your life, especially with your main endeavors, your main career, what you do every day. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. My show is The Rational Basis of Happiness. Toll-free 1-877-DRKENNER. You can also visit my website, drkenner.com. I'm a clinical psychologist, and you can pick up the phone and give me a call. Toll-free, again, 1-877-DRKENNER. And right now I want to welcome Mark to the phone. Mark, you're having difficulty in your marriage with your wife?
Yes, Dr. Kenner. I'm not sure if you remember the particular instance, but it was my wife had come down with a brain tumor.
Okay.
And we had gone through a clinical trial where I literally was with her every day for 3 to 4 months during the clinical trial, and then another month or so while she went through the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got home, we had a not-so-friendly friend that decided that I was evil and literally talked my wife into leaving me and filing a restraining order.
Okay, so somebody else, when you say a not-so-friendly friend, male or female?
Female.
So your wife's female friend told, it took all of your efforts, all of your standing by your wife, you know, and basically said that you were evil, and your wife was not in a stable position at that point, emotionally stable, because of the brain surgery?
I would say that because of the chemotherapy, and pardon me for talking over you there, but because of the chemotherapy, that she was in a confused state of being at that point in time. And literally, she came down to getting another not-so-unfriendly friend involved, and they decided to concoct a story, I suspect, for my wife, that basically that not only was I evil, but I was unstable, and that I had a gun, and that I was going to hurt her and possibly myself.
Yeah.
So it got even, you know, more exciting.
And I'm assuming there's no foundation to that, that if, even if you have a gun, that you were not unstable, that you were not going to use it, that was not the case?
Yeah, not the case. In fact, my wife was worried about guns before this whole issue came up and that I might potentially, you know, commit suicide or a number of other things. And I literally got the guns out of the house.
Okay. And why do you think okay, go ahead.
She's even using the getting the guns out of the house is an issue of me being unstable. So it's really interesting seeing who really true friends are and who takes sides, and those that just take things with a grain of salt and ask questions and get to the bottom of things.
Okay, so I have two questions.
Yes.
just the essence. Why would these friends do this? What's the motive? What's in it for them?
That's a dang good question. I think in the first case, it was when we got back, the gal that was helping me move my wife back was doing some things that were putting her at risk. And I challenged her on it. And the moment I started challenging her on it, I became a not nice guy.
What were they doing that was putting her at risk?
They were taking her out into public, which she shouldn't, because her immune system was extremely compromised.
Okay.
And they were taking her out. In one case, she was out for 6 hours, and the maximum that she was supposed to be out was like an hour.
Okay.
The gal came and was helping us at our home. I tried getting her evicted and couldn't even do that because she has more legal rights, it appears, than I do as to who I can have as a guest in my house. But that's a different story for a different time.
Okay, so it sounds like you've gotten legal advice on this. Let me ask the second question, which is, what is your main question? What would you like some help with?
My question at this point is that at this time, I've given her an extension on the restraining order, and things have kind of strung out for almost 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I let her have a rope, so to speak, to hopefully let her basically just come to a stable mindset mm-hmm. and to decide herself what she really, really wants.
Yeah.
And I know that a number of people have said, well, you should divorce him, and a number of people said, well, you should divorce her. And my thinking is that after 43 years, we're pretty much in tune with each other, and there's still a fair amount of love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so just give her time and space and see where she's coming from.
Okay.
And I'll challenge the restraining order separately, but my question is more along the lines, is that the prudent thing to do, is just let her have her lead and give her time to think things through?
I think it's focused on yourself, and I think that you're saying you're not ready to leave the marriage, and people are saying that you, and here's the key word, should leave. You're getting advice, you know, what the heck are you doing there? Come on, cut your losses, move on with your life. You know, I'm sure that you have a chorus of people who are trying to be supportive to you. And, you know, and there's probably a part of you that agrees with that too. The difficulty is it can't come as a should in your own mind. If you're saying I should leave her, then you're not able to think clearly. It's what makes sense, given your long history, given all the other connections that you have. A marriage is the two of you together, the emotional intimacy. If that was rocky to begin with and you're just hanging in there trying to see if you can fix it, that's at least you need to know that about yourself. If it was a great relationship or even a comfortable one, and it's a 43-year-old relationship and you want to not throw in the towel, you want to see if she comes to her senses, that she'll say, oh my gosh, what have I been doing? Please come back here. It's so nice having you around. Then that's a very different situation. And
so if I may interrupt at that point,
yeah,
I think I've already pretty much come to the conclusion that, you know, there's too much there. There's too much that we had together. The cancer seems to be in remission.
Yeah.
My take is basically whatever she wants to do is fine by me. I mean, I will support her. I will be there for her if she wants me to. And my question is more along the lines of where is she? She has not made any moves for a divorce or separation. She keeps rebuffing those that seem to be of the mindset of saying you should divorce and move on.
You have no contact with her at all?
I cannot because of the restraining order.
Okay. So you need to set a deadline for yourself, don't you? Because you don't
want
this to go on for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, for the next 6 months or so, you can pick your own time frame. I'm not picking that, and I know we're winding down on time. But I am going to hang in there and see if there's any movement on her part to come back to me. Because you have the restraining order. If there is a movement for her to come back, if you see some connection or hear about it, you can pursue that. If not, at that point, you need to ask yourself again, do I want to give myself another 6 months or do I need to cut my losses? Mm-hmm. And then you need to grieve your losses. I would definitely get supportive therapy for yourself and grieve the losses because you are losing what you wanted and can't have without her wanting it also. Listen, thank you so much for the call. And if you want to touch base again and let me know how it goes, you are welcome to do it. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Drs. Kenner and Locke.
It's unlikely that even an ideal romantic partner will be what you want in every detail. So to be happy, ask the question, what's essential in a romantic partner for me to be happy? Well, you can start by eliminating certain potential candidates. Newspaper love columns are filled with letters beginning, "My partner is a wonderful person except for one thing." Almost inevitably, this one thing turns out to be something very important, such as drug abuse, infidelity, making parents more important than the partner, neglect, being a cheapskate, being a control freak, or psychological or physical abuse. Any type of abuse is most certainly a deal breaker. Any serious, uncorrected flaw will almost inevitably undermine other qualities that are good.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.